It is 6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Rachel Oger-Lindley. Immigrants in North Texas and across the country stayed home from work and school today. Several North Texas businesses closed in solidarity. The Day Without Immigrants protest was designed to highlight their role in America's economy and way of life. The day was also aimed at President Donald Trump's efforts to crack down on immigration, both legal and illegal. Sarah Saldana was director of U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement under President Obama.
It drives home a certain point that I think is a valid point to make. The point that I keep trying to make to people, and that is now that I'm out of office and am a private citizen, I'm an Hispanic. I have back in my heritage Mexican, Spanish, a little bit of this and a little bit of that. I've always viewed diversity as a wonderful thing. I just think there is a happy balance between being a welcoming community and not wanting to have anything to do with the enforcement of our immigration laws. There's somewhere in there, there's a happy medium. And I am committed now as a private citizen to work with and speak to anybody who will listen to try to move these issues forward, starting with our own community here in Dallas County, because I think it's important.
You can hear more of our conversation with Sarah Saldana during the Friday conversation. That's tomorrow at 8:22 on Morning Edition. Years ago, lives were more likely to end relatively quickly due to accidents, infectious diseases, and other common ailments. In today's world, though, death has become more complex. Today on Think, Chris Boyd talked with Dr. Heider Verreich of Duke University Medical Center about how modern medicine has changed the way we die.
One of the things that happened during the 1960s was that we learned to resuscitate people after they had a cardiac arrest. The other thing that happened is that we helped people breathe with breathing machines. And what that did was that, you know, you would have patients who, and we have these patients to this day, you walk into their room and their skin is flushed. They're breathing with a breathing machine, and ostensibly they look similar to many other patients in the intensive care unit. Yet what we really have no idea about is how their brain is doing and how their brain will do, even if they are able to overcome whatever sort of put them in that situation. So in some ways, we know a lot more about death in the sense that we know a lot about diseases that kill us, about processes that occur close to the end of life. And yet, as far as the sort of existential experience is concerned, we're still where we were before the advent of modern science.
Dr. Heider Verreich is author of Modern Death, How Medicine Changed the End of Life. You can listen to the podcast of today's show at think.kera.org. This episode of Think re-airs tonight at 10, and you can listen to the podcast online. The news is starting to sound like a broken record. Vinyl is back. Last year, vinyl album sales grew 39%, the 11th straight year of growth. And that's great news for Dustin Blocker. Each week in the Artist Spotlight, we follow the personal journey of a North Texas creative. Today, Art and Seek's Hadi Mawagdi profiles the music entrepreneur who hopes his new record presses will be a game changer for vinyl.
Up in Addison, there's a giant packaging facility. It's about the size of two Home Depots squished together. And it's filled with rows of boxes stacked from floor to ceiling. In one corner sit two brand spanking new vinyl record presses, each about the size of a pickup. They're the first record presses built and installed in the U.S. in more than 30 years.
All right, so we're going to start at the beginning of the process.
That's Dustin Blocker. He's an artist, musician, and the co-founder of Hand Drawn Records.
Yeah, polyvinyl chloride, or PVC, and right here, 1 pound of this makes about 3 records.
As of today, Blocker's presses are one of a kind. They're smaller than the older presses, fully automated, and they're run by cloud-based software.
Today, you have a lot more safety guards in place on our press, so it keeps our workers from injuring themselves. And then on top of that, the speed and efficiency is much faster.
Before hand-drawn started pressing records, there were only 18 pressing plants in the U.S. And those plants use machines built in the 1960s. Though the steps required to press a vinyl album aren't much different, the new presses have major advantages.
The old machines, every minute and a half or so, you'd on an automatic press from the 1960s, you have a final record come off. Currently, we can get those down under 30 seconds, sometimes just about 20, 22 seconds.
Blocker's father was a music minister, his mother a music teacher. So it makes sense that he was drawn to the music industry. First, he was in the band Exit 380. Then he and his partners created a record label, Hand Drawn Records. They got into the vinyl pressing business because it serves the bands on their label.
We're clearly trying to be something that's making really great product for artists, really something they can actually sell and make money to get to the next city, or really to stay in town and become profitable. And that's what vinyl records do for the independent artists.
Hand-drawn manufactured Charlie Crockett's album, In the Night. And the Texas Bluesman says he'll make money on it.
They do cost some money to come out, but like with hand-drawn and stuff, we're definitely going to be profitable on a limited press of 500 of them.
That's music to Blocker's ears. He knows from personal experience that getting your album pressed can cost as much as $3,000 and takes a long time.
The old machines, you have about 30 to 40% waste. So after you made your record, they'd be bowed or messed up in some way because of the process. And so you'd have to recycle those and start over. Ours are under 1%.
Fewer mistakes during manufacturing means better end product, says David Grover, the owner of Spinster Records in Dallas. Spinster recently hosted Charlie Crockett's vinyl release party, and Grover says the album was perfect. Other vinyl hasn't been.
It's like on the Nora Jones record, that real famous one, I think side B has a slight hiss in it, and the record label was still selling them. That's always a hassle for us because we got to mail it back, you know, and it's just like accounting for it. It's like almost not worth it.
Blocker says flaws like that could make fans decide not to buy vinyl. And that's a problem because even though vinyl sales keep climbing, overall sales, including CDs and digital downloads, are plummeting.
In 2016, we sold just over 200 million albums in the United States, but that was down 16.7%. So in that 200 million, vinyl albums were up, but everything else was down.
That's Keith Caulfield. He's the co-director of charts at Billboard. Caulfield says sales are dropping because so many people have transitioned to streaming apps like Pandora or Spotify. He believes vinyl's return has a lot to do with nostalgia for analog.
It's kind of a novel idea for young people to be able to experience the process of purchasing a vinyl album, holding this object where you can open it up and there's liner notes and you can slide this big vinyl thing out and put it on a turntable. It's interactive.
Audiophiles believe the soul of music resonates more distinctly with vinyl. Again, Charlie Crockett.
It makes the music more valuable because you turn the record over halfway through. You know what I mean? You got to put the needle on it and stuff. And it's all good for the artist because if people are bothering to do all that, that means that they're taking more time to get to know you as an artist.
Back in Addison, Handdrawn is ironing out the final kinks with their presses. And Blocker has big ambitions.
In the 60s and 70s, when vinyl records were the biggest thing in music, this was a major hub and a major live destination because of vinyl records.
He hopes his presses will once again make vinyl king. Hadi Mawagdi, KERA News.
Want to see how these state-of-the-art presses work? Head on over to artandseek.org. We have a video and photographs, and there's a Q&A with Dustin Blocker of Hand Drawn Records. And finally, if you're a high school student or if you know one, listen up. KERA is sponsoring a Maya Angelou essay contest. Here's what you do. Write an essay that interprets one of Angelou's poems and describe how it contributes to the understanding of race in the U.S. and the African-American experience. Winners may be invited to read their essays on air. The deadline is approaching. You can learn more about the contest and prizes at kera.org/Angelou. And that's where you can submit your essays, too. I'm Rachel Osier-Lindley. It is 6:30, and you're listening to KERA News.